Delighted to have you with us today. Want to remind you as we start out about our singing that will be this Friday night at 7 o'clock here at the building, and make your plans to be with us at that time. It's always a great event and always an enjoyable one and very uplifting, and you'll be delighted to be a part of it. Tonight, for our sixth lesson in our Back to Basics series, we're going to be talking about grace. It seems like every Sunday when we come to one of those lessons, the lesson for that morning fits right into what we're going to be talking about that night. And this morning is no exception and no different. I want you to think with me about something. Jack Lewis wrote a book entitled Back to Basics. And it's been very helpful in our study and in our series, and in it, he makes some comments about grace that I think are so very important for all of us to consider, and that I want you to think about with me for just a second as we go into this. Grace. What does that word mean? You know, it's a church word. It's a word that we will use in church and religious settings. And because it is, sometimes it becomes a word difficult to define and difficult to understand because of our use of the word. When we talk about grace, there are a lot of different thoughts that come to all of our minds. And I'd like for you to think about the thoughts that would come to your mind as you think about the word grace and what it means. Literally, it means kindness. Literally, it means mercy, favor, or gift. We'll talk a little bit more about the definition of it tonight, but what I want you to focus on with me as we head into our lesson on growth this morning is this. What would be some of the language that you would use if you were talking to somebody who was in need of God's grace? What would be some of the language that you would use? What would be some of the things that you would say? How would you offer encouragement to another? And all those things are important, and they are connected with in the Bible. But I was challenged in reading Dr. Lewis in the statement that he made to reconsider some things. And not in a bad way, and I'm not going to be able to cover this completely and totally. I'm just going to hit something, and it may raise more questions for you than it does answers. And it may be something that we need to talk about. But I want you to think about this. In whatever thought you have regarding grace, do you realize that there is never a time in the Word of God, never a passage from God's Word, where God ever tells us that it's okay for us to settle for being less than who we are expected to be? That there is never a time in the Word of God, never a time in all of the message of God's grace, where God ever tells us we're okay and we are fine for being less than he's commanded us to be. But instead, what we have abundantly in the Bible is, if you love anything more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. You must strive with all of your heart. You must die to yourself and live for me. And the commitment that is expected of each and every one of us in this gospel of grace is to strive to become everything that God would have us to be in every day that we live. And yet sometimes when we think about grace and we talk about grace, we go to the other extreme rather than the message that is given to us in the Bible, which makes this idea of grace something that we need to understand. One of the problems that we have is because we have this word, grace, then we pretty much define it the way we want to. And more often than not, we will define it according to our own thoughts and thinking rather than listening to what God has to say. One aspect of that grace, one aspect of living in that grace that God expects of all of us is to grow continually. We know what we're to grow in, what we're to grow toward. We're to grow in the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. We are to grow to become like him in everything. We will never achieve that growth in its entirety. We will never be perfectly there. Even the Apostle Paul will say, I have not yet arrived. But one thing I do, I keep striving toward the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. None of us will ever gain any higher status than that in this life. And we are to be constantly growing. What I want us to focus on this morning are the verses that tell us how that's accomplished. Not the verses that will tell us what it means and what it's about. We know that. It's about coming into the likeness of Jesus. But I want us to look at some verses that will tell us how we go about it. How we go about this process of growth and growing. And we'll start with the book of Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 11 through verse 16. It's hard to start in the middle of a chapter. It's hard to start in the middle of a book because we need to read all of it. This is that passage that will talk about us making sure that we live a life that's worthy of the calling to which we've been called. And a life worthy of the calling to which we've been called is a life that's following in the steps of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul will then emphasize the unity that we are to strive for. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one God, there's one baptism, there's one body. And we're to strive to be all a part of that unity of that faith that God has created for us. But I want us to pick up the reading in verse 11. In verse 11, Paul will say this, and he, that's Jesus, and he gave some, and he's about to list a group. And what he's talking about is that in the infancy of this body of God's people, Jesus set in place what was necessary in order for this body to grow. And so Jesus gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for this purpose, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We are to strive to grow until we reach the maturity of Christ and the image of Christ, which means we will never stop growing, which means we will never stop maturing, which means as long as we are in this life, we will never stop having a need to grow. But in the process of that growth, the waves that toss us back and forth between different thoughts and ideas will become less and less of an impact on our lives. Will become less and less of an influence on our lives because we will be attuned more and more to recognizing and honoring and holding to the truth that God has given to us. And the truth that God has given to us, Jesus guaranteed that we would have. And so he set in place apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers, in order to equip us, give us everything that we need in order to become everything that God would have us to be. These are the individuals who have given to us Jesus' message. These are the individuals who have given to us the Word of God. These are the individuals who have given to us Scripture. And thus Paul will write to Timothy about Scripture. And he will remind him, all Scripture is breathed out by the mouth of God. And it's profitable. So that the man of God can be everything God would have him to be. So how do we grow? We grow by the words of truth. We grow by the words of God. We grow by Scripture. Therefore, Paul will meet with the elders of the church of Ephesus for the last time. He will tell them and all that are assembled there that they will never see his face again. It causes them a great deal of mourning, but he leaves them with these words. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Scripture. The writings that give us the words of Jesus, that give us the words of God. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, which is able to make you everything that God intends for you to be. And I commend you to that word and to what Jesus has said in order that we can become everything he would have us to be. Look at these words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We'll read it again, even though Al has just read it for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses, Peter will write this. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, there are things that we are to put aside. What I said when we began our lesson today, I'm going to say again tonight. And I'm probably going to say this again tonight as well. In the Bible, we are told that we are no longer under the control of sin because we are no longer under law. We are under grace. What does that mean? I'm afraid too often what we have decided that it means is that law required obedience and we are under grace, which does not require obedience. And that is a lie. That is not at all what Scripture says. Because Scripture talks about the obedience of faith being everything that grace is about. And so we're going to take a look tonight, hopefully. Got a lot to say tonight. Hopefully we're going to take a look tonight at something that will help us a little bit with that understanding. But what we do is so vital in connection with our grace and showing our reception of that grace. We are saved by grace through faith. I had a dear friend of mine who passed away this week. And his funeral was in Gadsden yesterday and the family had asked me to do it. And I thought about on the drive home, thinking about our lessons this morning and tonight and thinking about Don. As I was thinking about him, I thought of the hope that that family has because of his walk with Christ. And because of his walk in Jesus. That hope is not by grace only. Because if it were by grace only, it would not matter at all what Don did in his life. But what Don did in his life mattered. Because our salvation is not by grace only, it is by grace through faith. And we have to respond to that grace. It has to make a difference with us. God's grace is offered to every single person in the world, but not every person is going to be saved because it's not by grace only. It is by grace through faith. And so Peter begins by saying, therefore put aside. Therefore put away from you. God's grace is offered. Now what will you do with it? And how will you respond to it? And then he says this, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, do you know what he's done for you? Do you know what it means? then long for his word to grow into exactly what he wants you to grow into. That is absolutely essential for every single one of us. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 10, and reading through verse 18, Peter will say this. He has told them that they are to focus on the grace that is yet to be revealed, which is an interesting phrase in connection with grace. Because God's grace has been made known to us through Jesus Christ. Grace came through Jesus. God's grace toward us is Jesus Christ. Bottom line, it is Jesus Christ and all of the implications with regard to what he has done for us. But Peter talks about a grace to be revealed that we haven't seen yet. A grace, a gift, a favor that is going to be given to us when Jesus Christ comes again. And he tells us in the book of 2 Peter to focus on that. And that's the idea that he's talking about here in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, everything in this world to be destroyed in this way, then what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Be diligent to be found by him, saved by grace through faith, which brings about my diligence to be found by him in peace and spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. And then these two verses. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. How do I do that? How do I grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? A lot of times the way a book ends tells you something about the way it begins. And so if we just take the book of 2 Peter and we move from the last chapter and the last two verses and go to the first chapter and start with verse 1, we might get insight into how we grow. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. I don't think we could stop long enough and dwell on those words, because those words need to be something that each of us allow to sink deeply into our minds. Who's writing this? The Apostle Peter, the man to whom Jesus had given the keys of the kingdom. The Apostle Peter, the one who sat at his side, the one who was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's writing to me and you, to individuals who never saw Jesus, who never sat with him, who never ate with him in a physical sense. And this man, Peter, says, to those who have received a faith that is identical to ours. To those who have received a faith that is just like ours. And my faith and your faith can be just like the Apostle Peter's. He says this, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do I grow in grace and peace? Grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow in your knowledge of God. Where does that come from? God's breathed out revelation of himself. Scripture. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his own excellence. His divine power has given us everything we need to become what he wants us to be. And it's given by us obtaining, having the true knowledge of God and of Jesus. Again, what Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given, breathed out by the mouth of God, so that you can be everything God would have you to be. Verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Where are they? In Scripture. So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, being God's children, made in the image and likeness of Jesus, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, here we go. Now for this very reason, applying all diligence, giving everything that we have. In your faith, supply. These are not steps where we take the first one and now we go to the second one. This is like a thing that is all inclusive, where we have our faith which comes to us because we now believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And based on that knowledge, which at the very beginning seems so minimal, when we begin to grow and we begin to look at all the different things that God has to say to us, to our faith, we expand it by adding to it. And he goes through this litany of things or this list of things. To your faith, supply moral excellence. You believe he's the Son of God, then live like he asked you to live. Be what he asked you to be. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. Come to know more and more about him. Come to understand more and more about why he says what he says. Come to grow more and more in your knowledge of him and what he's talked about. And in your knowledge, self-control. Allow him to be the one who controls you. Not your own thoughts and ideas in the moment, but allow him to be the one who controls you. And in your self-control, perseverance, never quitting, never giving up, trying never to turn back, but always to move forward and growing in the likeness of Christ. And in your perseverance, godliness, living in the face of God, living before God, recognizing his eternal presence with me and living to please him in everything that I do. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours, you are saved by grace through faith. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, not that you've attained the goal, but you are growing in them. If these are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Grow. We all need to grow. With that in mind, oh, I have another. 2 Peter 1, 1, I just did that one. I'm sorry. We have a survey. Another survey. We don't do them very often. This is only the second one since I've been here. Of course, it's the second one in the last few months, but it's only the second one that I can remember when we have a survey. And the reason we have the survey is because we desire your input as to how we can encourage the spiritual growth of each and every person in the River Chase family. What can we do to better help you to grow, to better help one another to grow? It's a three-question survey, probably not answered yes or no. A three-question survey that requires some thought and some input that we desire from you. Those surveys are located in both foyers. You can pick them up as you exit the building this morning. It's also going to be mailed to you on Tuesday with three copies of the survey in each envelope that's intended to have, so that each one of the household members of the family of God here can have it in order to be able to fill out. We put three copies in to try to minimize the number of copies that you have to make. Of course, if there's seven people in your family, we're sorry, you got to make four copies. But we're sending out three copies to everyone. Or you can go to the church website, to the member section, and Tim Yeager has it online, and you can complete the survey online and just leave it there online if you would prefer to do that, and you're welcome to it. In case you do not remember, the church website is this address. www.riverchasechurch.org, and we'd like for you to go and to complete that survey. We would like for you to have it done and turned in by February the 1st, by Sunday, February the 1st. And this is the survey. Three questions. The first question is this: what can the River Chase Church do to help you grow spiritually? Number two: how can your elders and ministers better equip you to reach out to your friends and neighbors who are lost? And number three, what would cause you to get excited about bringing lost people to worship with us? What would cause you to get excited about having your friends and those that you know to be invited by you to come and worship with us here? Those are the three questions. And our elders, ministers, desire and covet your answer and your response to those three questions. But above everything, let's grow every day. Make up our minds every day. Paul did it every morning that he got up. Let's make it a practice every day that we get up to determine that today we will grow in our knowledge. We will grow in our obedience. We will grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus?